Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. I will be your host today for a most interesting interview with our new author, Jamila Sabir Calloway. This particular book is going to assist with people with Alzheimer's and dementia. It's a caregiver's guide, and she articulates some of the things that she had to go through in with her mother at that time, and just talk about the subject matter of what Alzheimer's and dementia actually is. Jamila, say hello to your audience.
Hello, hello, hello. Kevin, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm happy to be here with you. And I'm looking forward to sharing insights into the things in my book that will help caregivers of loved ones with Alzheimer's and dementia.
And that's what we're looking for, some insight, because this is becoming more and more of an issue as we move forward into the future with people actually getting this horrible disease. But to have clarity brought to it, to give a guide as to how to get through it, is so important. So to start off, can you tell us what motivated you to write a book like this?
Sure. My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And when my mother was first diagnosed with dementia, I felt overwhelmed and confused by the vast amount of information that was available online and elsewhere. I was kind of at my wit's end. I realized that many caregivers must feel the same way, struggling to understand what dementia means for their loved ones and how to care for them. So my book aims to simplify this complex information and make it accessible and understandable without all the medical jargon. There's a lot of information out there, but some of it you kind of have to dissect to understand how it applies to your situation. And so I want to provide caregivers with the knowledge and the support they need, just as I wished I had during my journey with my mother. So I kind of, it's a one-stop shop. I kind of put it in plain English for people to understand.
Well, you know, you said overwhelmed. That can be a frightening experience when you're dealing with something as complex as this could be. So let's talk about being overwhelmed and the anxiety that you felt as you was designing the book and knowing what to point to. And like you said, without the medical jargon, is that what confused you the most?
Well, number one, she's my mom. And the disease is a disease where her memory was going, her sense of reasoning was going, a lot of her behavioral things, that the way she was behaving was changing. So literally the person with the disease begins to change right in front of you. And so as a caregiver, I found that my experience in terms of my emotions, the caregiver emotions, it ranged similar to the stages of grief, including denial, anger, guilt, sadness, and ultimately acceptance. You know, initially, denial, because it's like, oh my God, this is my mom. She's always been so sharp and, you know, so intelligent and so prevalent in her interactions and in society at large. And the denial, you know, just serves as a defense mechanism. It's like, no, it couldn't be happening to my mother. But then when reality sets in, then there's, like you were saying, that overwhelm, that anger, that frustration can begin to arise. And then, believe it or not, it's followed by guilt because you want to do the best thing. You don't think you're doing enough. You don't know what you're doing. You know, you just need some help. And then, of course, sadness accompanies the progressive loss of the loved one's personality and abilities because as you see them deteriorate in front of your eyes, you know, it's sad. So at that point, you know, when you go through all of those stages in terms of the overwhelm, all of this is a part of that overwhelm that comes in. It evolves into acceptance. When you know what's going on, when you have effective ways of dealing with it and you know what you're doing as it relates to your loved one and enhancing their life as they continue their journey, it really, the acceptance just involves adjusting to those expectations and finding a new normal.
Well, can you give us a description? And, you know, thankfully, Jamila, I had an opportunity to meet your mother and to interact with her. And my impression is that when I would have conversations with her, you could tell that she was very sharp. But you saw differently. You saw things that were different and just offbeat. So can you
give... When you interacted with her, though, this was years before the true symptoms had begun to set in. You saw her at the very, very beginning of those stages, and you wouldn't have picked up on a lot of things that I would have, because, I mean, I'm her daughter. I kind of know, you know, that this was a little different than what had been, how she had been previously. But when I moved her down here to North Carolina, which was about 3 years after your interactions with her, you know, there was a difference. You could tell she had begun to decline a lot more. And so...
So can you give us a clear description as to Alzheimer's and dementia? Can you, without the legal jargon, can you divide the two for us?
Yes, indeed, certainly. So dementia, it's an umbrella term that describes a range of symptoms affecting memory, thinking, and social abilities. It affects them enough to interfere with their daily life. So that's dementia. It's a big, broad umbrella. Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia, but there are other types as well. Think of dementia as a general term for cognitive decline, and Alzheimer's as a specific disease under that umbrella. So Alzheimer's starts with mild memory loss, and it progressively worsens, affecting the part of the brain responsible for learning and memory. And that's what my mother had. So the other types of dementia are also outlined in my book. I think on page 18 it begins, and I kind of go through other types of dementia. But for the sake of this conversation, we're talking about Alzheimer's.
Okay. So in retrospect, what do you think you would have done differently if you had a book like this?
I would have planned differently, that's for sure. I include things like, you know, her financial situation, putting things in place for her estate and those kinds of things are very important to put in place, especially at the very beginning, when you start seeing early signs of dementia. Also, I would have done a lot of things differently with respect to her as it related to her behavior. I remember, I'll give you an example. I remember At one point, I just thought she was just trying to get on my last nerve. You know, it's like, why is she acting like this? What in the world is going on with her? And I mentioned it to a really close friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, who knew the symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. And I was saying, do you know what my mother did? She did so and so and so and so. And I can't even remember what the details were because the details weren't important. But she looked at me, and in a very soft voice, she nodded and she kind of smiled. She said, yeah, she's doing the best she can. And when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh. It is real. She really is doing the best she can. Like in that moment, my empathy just exploded within me for her condition because it's so subtle. I'm thinking she just, you know, like I say, trying to get this, just get up underneath my skin, just getting on my nerves. But actually, it was the disease. And when I came to that moment, in that moment, that my girlfriend said, yes, yeah, she's doing the best she can, I said, oh, wow. So in terms of what I would have done differently, in that moment, my relationship with my mother just completely turned around because I understood that she was doing what she could as she could. And so I was more gentle with her. I was more understanding. I was more supportive of meeting her where she was, being in the present moment. I always told people, my mother was a master teacher at teaching me how to be in the present moment. So those are the kinds of things that I would have done differently.
Well, I sure wish we had more of that today with our younger generation doing some of the things. But before we go too far, I would like for you to tell us, how do we get this book? Can you give us details as to how to get the book so that we can begin to prepare? And when I say we, you never know when this situation is going to come up on you. All of a sudden you wake up one morning and life has changed dramatically. But how do we get the book, and can you give us the price of the book, how to order it, things of that nature?
Sure. The book is available on Amazon.com. If you just go, if you Google the title of the book, or you can put in Amazon Books, comma, and then put the title of the book, Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide, it would come right up. It's available for $17.99 is the sale price of the book. And it is available in an e-book form for $1 at this point from Kindle. So I don't know if a lot of people, some people read their book, you know, on their devices, on their cell phones or their laptop or their other notebook kinds of devices. But it's available in both formats, in paperback and also as an ebook on Amazon.com.
Okay. So before we move to our next question, what are some of the early signs of dementia, and what should we be aware of? Because this book is a guide. It's a blueprint as to how to maneuver, and you've already alluded to some parts of it, but can you talk about the dementia part of the caregiving and how basically you were humbled by an answer from your friend?
Sure. Well, the early signs of dementia, they can be very, very subtle, and they're often mistaken for just normal aging. Some of the key symptoms to watch out for, of course, are memory loss, and usually that's recent event kind of memory loss. Trouble with thinking and reasoning, difficulty with communication, impaired judgment and decision making, and a lot of times just noticeable changes in mood and behavior. I'll just give you an example. Like once my mother placed books in the washing machine and then she put the clothes in the book rack. I mean, it's like, I mean, you can say it's funny, but you know, these signs, although it might seem trivial at first, they can indicate early stages of dementia, and recognizing them early can be crucial in timely intervention and care, because then you will want to get a diagnosis. And once you get your diagnosis, you will know and you'll be able to anticipate, you know, the decline, and you'll be able to be more prepared with some of the behavioral aspects that are changing the individual in front of your eyes in real time.
I want to take a moment and I want you to say that again, because that is, and I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said she put the books on a bookshelf and put the clothes.
No, she put the book. She put the books in the washing machine and the clothes on the book rack. She just got confused. You know, it's just a point of confusion. That's just a very lightweight example of stuff that can happen.
And situations like that grew?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember everything, but yeah, little by little, you know, little things started showing up. She was unable to take care of her bills and things like that. I began to have to intervene with making sure that the bills were being paid and things like that. And it's different for everyone. So honing in on these kinds of specifics is not as important as generically and generally watching your loved one and being available to them in the present moment and being able to navigate as their thinking and reasoning abilities begin to decline.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm glad that you wrote this. I had some experience at dealing with someone with similar issues. It wasn't as, I would say, complex in listening to you. But we're gonna take a musical break. We're gonna come back and talk some more about the book. So just hold tight and we'll be right back at you. This is KingScottRadioTV.com and we're listening to excerpts of the chapters within this particular book. KingScottRadioTV.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is KingScottRadioTV.com, and we are having a conversation with a new author, Miss Jamila Sabir Calloway. All right, the next question I have for you is in chapter 2 of the book. There's three questions that you allude to that will help you understand the content in chapter 2 and what we should be looking for. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, chapter 2 deals with some of the emotional stages that a caregiver goes through, and I did already elucidate that in a question that's earlier. One of the main things in terms of overwhelm with the caregiver and dealing with overwhelm, one of the main tools that I have found to be most effective is breathing, is using your breath, taking deep breaths when things come up, because things, you'll be sidelined. I mean, it's not an easy journey. The unexpected will happen, so expect the unexpected. And when that happens, you know, it causes stress. We're natural, we're human. You know, it causes stress. And in those moments, when you're feeling stressed out, take a deep breath. Sometimes if you can, go outside and just take a deep breath, several deep breaths before you go in and deal with your loved one. If you know you're getting ready to go in and it's going to be a confused situation, take some breath and be present with your loved one as much as possible. It's real important. These initial emotions for the caregiver, especially with, I don't know, when you're caring for someone in your own home. A lot of people are caregivers, but they're caregivers and their person is maybe in an institution or something like that. It's a little different. The second chapter deals with like this initial onset. Number one, how does it affect the caregiver? How does it affect the person, the loved one? And also how to effectively communicate the disease and the diagnosis of the disease to close family members without causing panic, and why this is important. And it is very important, because communicating an Alzheimer's diagnosis to family members, it should be done with transparency and empathy. Especially if the person is living with you or is someone that you're going to be the primary caregiver to. Using a patient-centered approach, caregivers should explain the disease progression and its psychosocial aspect, focusing on behaviors and reasons behind them, because this is also their loved one. So when you're communicating with family members, it's important to avoid causing panic just by being clear on the disease. That's why this book is so important, because you will be armed with all of the information that you need in order to effectively communicate the anticipated decline of the loved one that has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Would you recommend to anyone that the best possible scenario is to put the loved one away? And this is a two-ended question. What about that relative that just loses it, that just can't handle the decline, and you become a caregiver twice, because you're not just dealing with mom's issue, you're also dealing with family members. So take whichever one you want to answer first.
Well, this can, you know, I was lucky in that I'm an only child, so I didn't have siblings to deal with. But you know, everybody's going to they're going to deal with the diagnosis in the way that they deal with it. The important thing as the caregiver is to take care of yourself. You know, give people the information, but take care of yourself. And I'll give you an example. Like, I say to communicate with your family members that we need to take a person-centered care approach. And what does that show interest in your care, in your loved one, even if they continue to repeat things, even if they're saying things that don't mean anything. It depends on the level that they're at in the disease, or how much the disease has taken hold of them. But it can be a slippery slope. And, for example, I have a friend who was in a caregiving support group with me. This was not my experience, but the experience of someone who was, a caregiver for her loved one. Now, her loved one was in a group home, but she would go every day. This was her aunt, and she was her caregiver, and she would go every day. And so every day she would go in there, the aunt would say, you know, these nurses came in here and stole all my pot. Well, of course, it was out of her mind. You know, it wasn't in reality, wasn't a real thing. But the caregiver would go in every time and say, are you serious? She stole your pots again? Oh, my goodness. And showed empathy with the person, even though she was delusional. And every day she would come in and she would say, you know that lady stole my pots? And every day the caregiver would say, oh, my goodness, they stole your pots again, and just validated her feelings. It's so important to give care, seeing the world through their eyes, and validating their feelings and experiences, even though they are not grounded in reality. These are the kinds of things that need to be communicated to loved ones, so that when they come in and they see that maybe some deterioration has happened, a personality little quirk has shown up that you don't recognize in the person, that they meet the person where they are and they show empathy and validate their feelings. Because the bottom line is that we want their lives to be as comfortable as possible while they're here, even though we might not understand their mental, their, where they are in their minds, etc. But we want them to always feel loved. We always want them to feel validated and at peace.
Wow. This is a good read in terms of preparing for the future with situations like this, and we must compliment you on the diligence that it took to put all this in a format that is readable, because again, when you add in a lot of different jargon, you get lost. I mean, you simply get lost, and that's not a healthy feeling for anyone. Well, we're going to take another musical break, so we'll be right back. This is KingScottRadioTV.com, and we're having a open conversation with Jamila, and she is just telling us the ins and outs of dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. So we'll be right back. KingScottRadioTV.com. Okay, we are back with our new author, and we're going to taper this down a little bit to give her an opportunity to sort of bring it all together And in our next episode of this book, we are going to talk more about the reactions and the functions of the downside of the decline, and start preparing for those final days. Now, I would also say that it's important to begin to make preparations because you don't want to be taken advantage of by funeral parlors. I know that Johnson & Jenkins Funeral Home did a very good job in just managing and giving you the options available to people in positions like this. But can you give us a synopsis of where we're going to start with our next points of view with this, Jamila?
Well, I'm just going to continue to delve into the different aspects of how to prepare yourself for becoming a caregiver or being on this caregiver journey. I want to thank everyone for joining us today as we delve into the heartfelt and challenging journey of caregiving. It's a daunting task. I hope that the insights that we shared today resonated with you, with your audience. And my intention was to give you a glimpse into the profound care and understanding required in this journey. The book, Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide, is a comprehensive resource. It's filled with practical advice and compassionate insights to support caregivers like you. And by purchasing the book, you're getting the valuable tools to navigate not only the practical challenges of caregiving, but the emotional challenges. And at the paramount reason for writing this book, it's ensuring the dignity and the well-being of your loved one along the way while taking care of yourself. So I kindly ask you to purchase the book and to leave a positive review after reading the book. It's a resource, so it's something that you'll go back to time and time again. As as you see certain symptoms come up, you might take it off the shelf and read that chapter because it's pertinent to what you're experiencing in the moment. So that's the format of the book. And so your feedback is extremely important, because if you leave a review, by leaving a review, it helps not only me improve, but it also aids other caregivers in finding the guidance and support that they need. And when you see a book and it has a lot of really good reviews, you tend to buy it. And I want this word, I want this message, I want this information to go wide so that more and more people can be assisted, and so that those with dementia can have caregivers that are loving and kind and have their dignity and their peace paramount to the experience that they are in. So hopefully together we can make a significant difference in the lives of those affected by Alzheimer's and dementia.
I certainly hope that our audience is getting this critical information because it can happen to you, as you know, with anyone. And I believe that the way that you are communicating effectively, I may add, the emotional roller coasters that you go on, and this will make it a little easier for someone else coming behind you because of this book. So we're going to stay with it and continue to promote and let people know the importance of it so that people can receive the help that they need. If you would like to call the station, you can reach us at 240-362-7552. And you can ask me questions in reference to it, and I'll be able to give you some more information referencing the Caregiver's Guide for Dementia and Alzheimer's, just in case you need a little more holding of the hands. This has been another broadcast from KingScottRadioTV.com, and we look forward to joining you again to accomplish this. And let's just make it happen, folks. This is the time that we need to support one another in an effort to make the future better for someone else. King Scott.
And the book, the book is available on Amazon.com. I just want to leave that with your audience. Amazon.com, you can get the book, Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide.
And we'll also have some information on our Facebook page referencing this, but you can certainly contact the station again at 240-362-7552. KingScottRadioTV.com. Thank you.